Welcome to the Path to Podcast Success. My name is Evan Johnson, and I want to share with you how to develop and maintain a successful podcast. My guests and I will discuss all things podcasting and how your podcast can become an essential part of your business. That means more revenue, better relationships with your audience, and so much more. If you haven't already, check out our website at ipodcastedit.com and enter your email address to get each episode delivered directly to your inbox, along with some other free information I'm sure you'll find useful. Get ready to turn on your mic and join me on the path to podcast success.
All right, everybody, my guest today is absolutely incredible. His name is John Levesay, and he is a public speaker. He's a sales keynote speaker, which is very interesting, and it's very interesting to be able to talk to him about how public speaking and how that skill translates to podcasting and vice versa. So if you're planning to become a speaker or if you're interested in being a speaker, this episode is for you, and if you already are a speaker but want to branch into podcasting, this episode is for you as well. So hope you guys enjoy. Let me know if you do.
Hi, John. Thank you so much for being willing to come on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Evan.
So I like to start off in the same place with all of my guests, and that is by asking, what was your biggest fear when you were starting out as a podcaster before you first started, and did that fear end up coming true?
Well, I actually have three.
Okay.
But I'll give you the first two, and then I'll give you the biggest one. The first one was the fear of rejection. What if I ask a big guest to be on and they said no? Or, you know, could I hear other episodes and I hadn't started? And I realized for me, the fear of rejection is I just never reject myself and I don't take it personally. So that's my solution. Being in sales my whole career, I've learned how to deal with rejection. The second fear was the fear of failure. What if I do it? Nobody listens to it. I'll be embarrassed and waste time and money. And then I realized, you know, failure is just feedback. Keep going until you get a zombie idea so great it doesn't die.
Right. That's interesting. Zombie idea. I like that.
Yeah. And that's from one of my guests, actually, Jay Samet, who wrote Disrupt You. So that's also, you know, you just learn things from your guests so much. And then the biggest fear for me was the fear of the unknown. I didn't know what mic to buy. I didn't know how to edit it. I didn't know how to get it out on iTunes. I've been a guest many times, but never a host. I didn't really know what kind of questions to ask. So that was my biggest fear, was the fear of the unknown. How do I do this? And it almost stopped me from doing it.
And how did you get past it? What did you do to overcome that, if you don't mind?
Well, luckily for me, I found a company that's their whole business, is done for you podcasting. So they just said, you know, do what you love, which is the interview, and we'll take care of everything else, and we'll help you launch it and tell you what mic to buy and some tips on being a good guest, good host, and all that good stuff. So, but the tech part is something that I outsource, and that's been one of the smartest decisions and investments I've ever made.
So let's talk a little bit more about that. Tell me about the process. So it sounds like, have you outsourced since the very beginning, or did you start afterwards?
No. Okay. I would never have started if I had to figure all that out. It was too overwhelming and too much time. And so literally the way it works now is I interview guests via Zoom, like you're doing. And then I put it in Dropbox, and I send a few notes with it to the people, and they produce the podcast for me. They edit it. They put some visuals with in the show notes. They get it out everywhere. There's some ready-made tweets. So they do a great job of making it look really high quality, which allows the guests to feel honored to share it and promote it, and saves me a lot of time.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly. And so how do you think, it sounds to me like your answer is yes, but do you think then it's worth the cost, having all of that done for you? Is it worth the cost? Because I know, and we'll dive into this as well in a minute, but I know that podcasting and a lot of times isn't in and of itself a very big money-making tool. It's more of a help with the business and other ventures. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, do you think the investment is worth it?
Well, I always say that there's a little pyramid of your time and your skill set. At the bottom is things you hate to do and you're incompetent. For me, that would be my taxes. Right. I would never dream of doing my taxes, but I would so screw that up. Leave money on the table, I'm sure, or whatever. Then you move up to things that you're competent in, but you don't really like doing either. And for me, that would be cleaning my condo. I mean, I can do it, but I don't do a great job. So I outsource that. Right. And then you get to the level on the pyramid where you're excellent at some things and you get well paid to do it. So a lot of people hire me to help them with their pitch, to get their startup funded. I've written 3 books. You know, I get paid for that. And then at the very top of it is your genius. You know, what is your secret power? And I am a keynote speaker and I help companies with their stories so they become memorable and irresistible when they're competing against 2 other finalists. And I get paid well to come in because I can help big companies like an architecture firm win an airport renovation from having me as a speaker and workshop host. So 1 hour of your genius can pay for 10 hours of the stuff at the bottom that you don't like doing and you're not good at doing. So that's how I justify all of that. So for me, the podcast is not that I need to get so many downloads to sell ads on it and make a lot of money. It's what allows me to build my network. I've been able to interview a lot of speaking bureaus that have since represented me for speaking gigs. So I use it as a relationship building tool. And also if I want to know a particular speaker or an author, I can invite them to be on my show and have really great insights into what's going on and staying current that way.
Right. Okay. And so would you say then that the those opportunities, and I'm sure the money you've gotten from those opportunities, do you think that that has made up for that the investment that you made in podcasting?
Yes. In fact, I did what Tim Ferriss did at the same time, not knowing he was doing it. There's this, you know, tipping point thing where people have similar ideas at the same time. And I turned 10 of my favorite episodes into a book by repurposing the transcripts. And that allowed me to get on television as the expert on how to ask for what you want and get a yes, which then got me footage that I put into my speaking video highlight reel to get me more speaking gigs. So one thing led to the next.
Nice. Yeah, that's incredible. That's really interesting. So tell me a little bit more in detail about how you made that happen. So you took 10 of your episodes. Mm-hmm. And you have transcripts from those episodes.
Yes.
So how did you turn that into a book?
Well, you have to edit the transcript so it doesn't sound like you're listening, so you don't say welcome to the show or anything like that.
Right.
And a lot of it is, so the chapter, each chapter is a different episode, a different person. And you kind of summarize, you know, what the chapter's about, and people can decide if they want to read that particular chapter or not. And so it's a lot of editing that goes into it. But you're not starting from scratch. And then the good news is each of the guests that I decided to feature in the book had a big social media following, so they promoted the book because they're in the book.
Right. Okay. So it's a way of taking the podcast episodes and that relationship with the guest and revitalizing it, if you will, taking it,
yes,
turning
repurposing.
It into a book. Exactly. Because I know that a big part of having guests, especially high level guests, besides being able to build new relationships, when you're coming at it from a business standpoint, they have a large audience. Mm-hmm. And they're on your podcast, their audience becomes your audience.
Exactly. Yes.
And that's really interesting.
And I would recommend that if you're going to do that, you use the same name. So my podcast is called The Successful Pitch, and that book was called The Successful Pitch.
Right. Yeah.
So there's some consistency in branding there.
Exactly. Yeah. And that will make people let people know that it's related to the podcast, not something completely separate.
Right. And also my latest book is called Better Selling Through Storytelling. And I reference many of the interviews in that book. So for example, if I'm going to talk about interviewing Robert Cordaldi, who's the expert on persuasion, I don't just quote from his book like a lot of authors do. I'll say, when I was interviewing Robert Cordaldi, here's what he said to me. So that's more personal.
Right, exactly. It's not like you're just using their name or using their expertise for what you're doing. It's more you show people that you actually have a relationship with that person.
Right.
And that establishes you as the expert, because if you're hanging out with and talking and interviewing the expert on persuasion, you must also know a lot about persuasion.
Exactly.
Right. And so that's something that I've known is a plus of having guests like that on your show. But I've never thought about taking that expertise in those episodes and turning them into a book, which makes it even more real, if you will. And it gives you another opportunity to share stuff with that person.
Right. And whatever you're the author of, you're the authority of, because within the word authority is the word author.
That's really interesting. Wow. Okay.
And that's so, what you need to get the credibility, to get speaking engagements, and get on television. The book gives you that.
Wow. Okay. And so I also wanted to ask you, how long did it take to get to that point? Did you have an audience when you started your podcast, or did you use your podcast to build to the point of writing a book, getting on TV, getting speaking gigs, all that?
I'd written a book before the podcast. But the podcast, you know, is now heard in 60 countries, 200 and some episodes later. So the guests share it, and then that gets me other guests, which then gets me other listeners. And I've interviewed some guests that live in different countries. So that all helped build the audience.
Right. Okay. And so did you have kind of an audience before you started?
A very small one, you know, from being a guest on podcasts. You know, in fact, I do this for your audience as well. I give a gift to build my list. So if somebody wants a sneak peek of my book, all they have to do is text the word pitch, P-I-T-C-H, to 66866, and they get a free sneak peek of the book. So that's one of my tips for your listeners, is if you're going to be a guest on a podcast, have something that makes it easy for people to get more of your content without having to buy the book. And I have had a lot of people do that because they love the fact that they can text a word on their phone, as opposed to asking someone to go to my website and, you know, request it that way. People seem to prefer and love this ability. And the same thing when I give talks sometimes at events, I'm like, oh, if you want a sneak peek of the book, instead of if you're not ready to buy it, just text this word pitch to 66866, and people pull out their phones and do it right there. And that builds up my email list as well. And then they can always opt out if they don't want to. But I continue to send them episodes from the podcast.
Wow. That's an interesting way to do that, because I know that podcast listeners are notorious for being bad at taking actions outside of the podcast, because, you know, some people might be listening in their car while they're working out. And, you know, it's not really, you don't really think of getting on your phone or something and getting on a website. But texting, everybody does that pretty much all the time. So it makes it really easy. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Okay. And so has your podcast been your main tool for building your audience since you started it? Would you say?
I would say yes. You know, because I also repurpose the transcripts into an article on LinkedIn every week. So I'm creating content for my social media without having to write a word.
Wow. Yeah. I know podcast content can be repurposed in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. So I also wanted to ask, do you monetize your podcast at all? I know we kind of already went over how the main part of it is building relationships and all that kind of stuff, but I'm still curious, do you monetize?
No, I don't. People have asked me, you know, can I run an ad on it? Can I do this? But I don't. I like to keep it pretty clean and allow people to. It's a funnel for me to create awareness for, you know, speaking. And sometimes event planners have said, oh, I've heard you on a podcast, or I listened to you interview so-and-so, and that's what made me want to talk to you about being a speaker here.
Right. And so I'm curious, did you do a lot of speaking before your podcast, or did your podcast come afterwards? Yeah, you did.
Yes, I did. And when I was selling advertising for Condé Nast, part of what I would do for big brands like Jaguar and Land Rover or Guess Jeans is I would say to them, you know, the ad in the magazine drives traffic to your dealership or your retail store. But if you buy, W is going to buy copies of my book, and I'm going to come speak to your sales team on how to sell to the luxury market and that kind of thing. So I was already speaking to the advertisers that I had at Condé Nast for the last 15 years. But this certainly helped kick it into high gear and as my main focus now.
Right. And has being on podcasts and having guests and having your own show, has that helped at all with your public speaking and how you've been able to do that? Because, and I ask because I've had guests use the podcast as kind of a stepping stone to being a public speaker.
Well, I've used it in several different ways. One is I've interviewed speaking bureaus because they are also entrepreneurs and they have a story of how they launched their business. And so they like to be on the show because there's a gentleman named Bertie Swain who actually reached out to me, who wrote a book about entrepreneurship, and he's been around forever and is in the Washington Speakers Bureau, and you know, former presidents use him as their speaking agent. And so when I had him as a guest, because he wanted to reach an audience of entrepreneurs to promote his book, that really gave me some credibility to go to other bureau founders and say, would you like to be a guest? And they're like, oh, you've had Bernie? He's who I base my business model on. So then that allows me to stand out against all the other speakers trying to get represented by the bureaus.
Right. Okay. Okay. And what would you recommend a podcast? Because I know that there are a lot of people out there who are very interested in being public speakers, mm-hmm. but maybe they have no experience or they don't know how to get started, or maybe they have stage fright, things of that mm-hmm. nature. Would you say a podcast is a pretty good tool to like kind of start with as, because even like us talking now, you know, it's a new relationship. You're talking in front of someone and people are going to be listening.
Yeah.
So would you say that a podcast is a pretty good, I guess, stepping stone to being a public speaker?
Well, it's one of many steps. It's not enough. Right. You don't just jump from being on a podcast or hosting a podcast to standing in a ballroom with hundreds and hundreds of people and feel comfortable. So there's, if you're scared about speaking in public, you get butterflies in your stomach, as I say. The goal is to get the butterflies to fly in formation. And there's a great book that I had a guest who wrote on called Scared Speechless that helps people who have nerves with that, Steve Rohr. Also, I would encourage people to work on getting a TEDx talk because that gives you a lot of credibility and helps you and gets you footage, which is what you need in order to be hired as a professional speaker, is footage of you in front of a crowd.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting because I know a lot of people out there are interested in being public speakers, but they don't really know where to begin. So now I want to ask your advice on getting more listeners without paid advertising. I've had some people ask me because I like to ask people what they want me to ask guests. And people will talk about getting more listeners without paid advertising. What would be your advice on that? And I know we've already kind of covered it with guests, but is that most of what you do, or is there anything else that you do?
Well, if you the team that I have producing my podcast, they will take an image of the guest's headshot and a quote, and create a piece of artwork with a link to the website that I send the guests, and the guest then is incentivized to want to share that. And so the guest is not, it becomes, oh, this is a nice tweet. And then if you have a really great guest, you can continue to promote that episode multiple times over several months. So you don't just do one tweet and call it a day. So I think that continues to help. And then when you see somebody retweeting your episode or a quote that's resonated with them, then you know you've got something.
Right. And that's something that I'm constantly reminding myself and my clients as well to do, is that when you share a podcast episode and you have your guest share it the day it comes out, that's great. But that's not the last time that you need to, that you can share it. As you always, like I try to maybe a couple weeks or a couple months after an episode is released, I try to go back and give it a share again.
Yes.
So that, you know, to kind of resurface it.
And make sure you're tagging the guest when you do that so that they can retweet it.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. So I wanted to ask, how do you keep it fresh each episode? Like, talk a little bit about what the format of your episodes are. Mm-hmm. And does it change very much episode to episode? And if not, how do you keep it fresh? How do you keep it interesting?
Well, I pride myself on doing research on the guest. Okay. So if they have a book, I ask them to send it to me so I can read it. And I remember one guest saying, wow, that was you asked really smart questions and unique questions. And I could tell you read my book. You're a great journalist. Most journalists don't read the book. And I went, journalist? A podcast host is a journalist? That was early on. So that's what keeps it fresh, is the content of the guests. And because I'm all about storytelling, I usually like to ask my guests to tell their own story of origin. And that's usually a very fascinating story. And rarely do people have this linear, well, I always knew I wanted to do this, and I did this, and then this, and then this. A lot of people have all kinds of zigs and zags and sort of fall into something, never expecting that they would end up a venture capitalist or a best-selling author or speaker themselves. So those kinds of things really make it interesting for me.
That's very interesting because, you know, sometimes it's hard to do something beyond, just, you know, the same questions every time. Mm-hmm.
you know, it's difficult because then you have to really do your research. And I try to do that as well. I try to ask different and unique questions for the guests, especially depending on how they answer questions. And usually if they answer a question, like I start off my podcast with the same question every time. And usually that leads into other topics that other guests might not discuss. Like we talked a lot about public speaking, and I do that with a lot of my guests. So, so yeah, that's definitely a good tip. How were you able to keep, so you started, you said you're over 200 episodes in now, which is incredible, by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you release one episode a week?
Typically, yes.
Okay. Okay. And so how many years is that? How long is that?
Gosh, it's 5 years now.
Wow. 5 years. That is incredible. That is incredible. So how are you able to keep consistent? Like, how did you keep your enjoyment of podcasting for 5 years?
Well, originally I was doing it because people were hiring me to help them with their pitch. And they kept saying, I need introductions to investors. And I said, I don't know any investors. And that's what caused me to launch the pitch, was to get a network of investors on the podcast that I could then introduce after I helped people with a great pitch. And then about 2 years in, I realized I really wanted to focus on giving keynote talks to big brands like Coca-Cola and Honeywell and Anthem Insurance. So I pivoted slightly on my podcast, even though it's the same name, and just started interviewing other speakers and other speaking bureaus to find out what their story is. So it's always about the story for me.
Right. Okay. That's incredible. And I want to say again, that congratulations for 5 years of podcasting. It's hard to stick with it that long.
It
for
is.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
How important do you think, have you found consistency to be in your podcast?
Oh, I think it's just part of everything. I think consistency is part of, important in your life. It's part of discipline and it's part of integrity. If you say you're going to do something and then you do it, and then people expect it on a regular basis.
Right. Okay. So, you know, as we kind of wind down the podcast, I'd like to end with the same question. And that is by asking, what would be for the guests or for the listeners out there who are unsure about whether or not a podcast would be right for them, or maybe if they have a business, I don't know if the investment's worth it. I don't know if a podcast's worth it. I don't know if it will help. What would you say to them?
I would say to them that for me, deciding to launch my podcast and keep doing it is one of the best business decisions I've ever made, as well as personal. I mean, it is thrilling to get to interview certain guests and learn from them directly and ask questions that I know many of us read a book and go, God, I wish I could ask the author something about that book. And so that really is one of the key reasons. That alone, just to keep your own growth going, a masterclass with somebody is worth it. And it creates a platform, again, just like a book does. It's another level of credibility. There's a lot of speakers out there who have books, but not a lot of speakers who have a podcast. So therefore, the speaking bureaus had not been inundated with a lot of requests to be on 100 podcasts from other speakers. So it was something unique that allowed me to stand out.
And that's really the name of the game. I mean, trying to be unique and trying to stand out is really important, because very, very few times nowadays do people have a quote unquote new idea, like a truly new idea. So that's really, I mean, like, you know, there are lots of speakers out there. So you found a way to be unique and to be noticed, which is amazing. Yeah. So anyway, thank you again, John, for being willing to come on my show today. I think I really enjoyed talking with you, and I can definitely tell you're a public speaker. I love your energy when it comes to speaking. You're very, very natural, very comfortable with it,
which
I like.
Yes. That's what people are buying, is your energy. Just remember that.
Well, thank you again. Thank you very, very much. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Path to Podcast Success. Make sure to head over to iPodcastEdit.com to check out the show notes and get each episode of the show delivered right to your inbox. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or whichever audio service you use. If you want to continue the conversation, or you have a topic you'd like me to discuss on a future episode of the show, please don't hesitate to reach out. Thank you again for tuning in, and I'll see you on the next episode as we continue down the path to podcast success.